Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who's been born for us this night. Amen. Dear friends, Christmas is really about a busy season of gift giving. We've got to be honest about it. Just ask Bi-Mart, or just ask Fred Meyer or Target about that thought. Christmas is really about gift giving in a lot of ways. There have been some holidays that have been added on to Christmas just to endorse this gift-giving at this holiday. Black Friday, now there's Cyber Monday. Now I understand that there's something called Small Business Saturday. Just wait for a couple years, there's going to be a Thursday to support this economic booster for the community and nation. Many of us this evening are probably thinking about gifts. If we're honest ourselves, maybe we have some packages that we still have to wrap. One of the kids in the children's message this morning in our church service said, I asked him, how do you prepare for Christmas? And he was so awesome. He was so honest. And he said, I shake every present to make sure I know it's inside. I love it. Christmas is just a big economic booster, if you think about it. And maybe you are thinking about presents this evening as we gather here tonight. But I have to tell you, there's something that just I find really confusing about Christmas. Just got to get it out there here as I begin my message. Don't you think it's odd that on Jesus' birthday that everybody gives gifts to each other? That's really strange, isn't it? You might be kind of thinking about that for a moment. But imagine your own birthday. You have invited a whole bunch of people over to your house. You've decorated and sent out the invitations, and there you are ready to celebrate your birthday, and people show up and they're high-fiving each other and saying happy birthday, but they're giving gifts to each other while you stand off in the corner. That would be weird, wouldn't it be? And sometimes I think that's the way Christmas operates. We're busy getting gifts for each other, and Jesus is kind of off in the corner. Jesus is a hard person to buy a gift for, though, don't you think? He has all power and authority. He has all kingdoms, power and authority. He has everything that he could possibly have. He has everything that he possibly needs. He'd be a very difficult person to buy a gift for. Must share that. And tonight our service is really focused around the reading of the birth narrative of Jesus. And as we heard that read from Rob, there weren't any listings of gift ideas that Jesus would want from us. That's not in the text. But I believe in that text that Rob read, there are a couple subtle things that Jesus would appreciate. They're very subtle. It's hard to buy gifts for someone who has everything. Maybe you can relate to this in your family. Do you have someone in your family that's kind of hard to buy a gift for? Don't look at each other here tonight. The person has everything. There's nothing that they could possibly need, and they don't share a Christmas gift list with you. And around the time of Thanksgiving, when everyone's talking about world peace and who's going to win the football game and what are the best ingredients in Dutch apple pie, this person drops a little hint what they might want for Christmas. And you see, with that little hint, that's all you're going to get. You're not going to get a list. And if you don't catch that little hint at the dinner table, you might buy the wrong gift. Maybe you have someone in your family that fits that description. Well, Jesus is kind of that way, and we need to listen and subtly catch just a couple points here in the birth narrative of Jesus to find out what we can offer him in a response for the gift that he is for us. Again, these are not gifts. These are really attitudes and behaviors that are found in the text that we just read from Luke chapter 2. We read in Luke chapter 2 that when the message was heard that Jesus had been born, that everyone wondered. Then Mary pondered in her heart, and she wondered as well. The word for wonder in the Greek, thamazo, that means astonishment and awe. And what I think is behind that little thought there is that how could these individuals who are so small and insignificant in the grand scheme of things could be the very people that God would utilize in his plan for all salvation? Mary was of low estate and humble. God had been, isn't it an amazing thought? God had been planning this gift of salvation through his son, and he used this person, Mary. But my friends, he can use you. Because these Christmas carols are not just for warm, fuzzy thoughts. They're about you. Listen to this one. This was the stanza we sang. O little town of Bethlehem, descend on us today. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born, not in 0 AD, be born in my heart today. I don't know about you, but I feel humble and lowly often. I make a lot of mistakes. I say the wrong words at the wrong time to the wrong person. How could God ever use me? And the same could be said for each person here. Because we're of humble and low estate. We make mistakes. But God will use you. Use you for salvation. That's awe. That brings wonder. Aren't you astonished by that? Our world needs more of that. Our world is kind of lost in flat affect and it has lost the idea of wonder and astonishment. Now, there's another attitude here in the birth narrative of Jesus that I think we can capture. We're not going to buy the perfect gift for Jesus, but if we had these attitudinal responses, these behaviors, how powerful it would be. And here's another one. The sense of eagerness is here in this text.